This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Urban agriculture is surging in British Columbia and across North America, resulting in a growing network of small-scale farms, rooftop, back and front yard gardens, and community garden initiatives. The potential benefits to the gardener, farmers, and communities have also become apparent, including the alleviation of poverty and waste, the promotion of sustainable development, reductions in crime, an increased sense of community, improved nutrition, and a host of ecological benefits. Health professionals have also recognized the value of farm and garden scale urban agriculture, including the engagement of local citizens in work and benefits to food security, exercise, and mental health. We're joined on the phone by Javin Kirby Bernakovich, who is an educator with Permaculture BC. He's been helping people living in Victoria, BC to establish edible gardens in their yards.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Javin.
Thanks so much, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
Javin, what's your sense of the current state of urban and small-scale agriculture across British Columbia? What's been happening?
It seems more and more that, just as Asta's intro suggested, that people are starting to realize that the food they get on a daily basis from the grocery store or being able to take that food from the local convenience store doesn't have the same nutritional value as the food that they grow themselves. I think the other aspect is people just want a little bit more security in their food and as well as sovereignty to know where their food comes from and to know that it can come out of their backyard. I think the other aspect is the health benefits of growing your own food, not only growing it and then eating it, but also the aspects of growing it, getting your hands in the dirt and having the moment to be calm in a world of technology, in a world of increasing frustration, really helps people to connect and just have a higher quality of life.
Permaculture is often, but not always, a part of urban and small-scale agriculture, from what I can tell. Tell us more about how permaculture itself fits into this.
It's interesting. You know, permaculture has been a design science that's been used now for over 40 years around the world to help people capture water where they are and to help them grow food and grow community. The interesting intersection between permaculture and urban agriculture is almost one and the same. Permaculture was once called organic gardening disguised as revolution. And when you add the permaculture ethics of taking care of the land, the people, and of distributing what we have produced to each other, urban agriculture becomes a tool in which one can use permaculture to continue to create a better quality of life. At the end of it, urban agriculture seeks to provide food within a local scale to provide healthy food for citizens, as well as providing them a sense of security. And permaculture does that as well. I think the difference is that urban agriculture is a tool, whereas permaculture is the full design system at an umbrella style or the bird's eye view taking a look at it.
Tell us more about the work you're currently doing. And I spoke with you on the phone last week about this very briefly. You're helping people to establish what I understand to be edible gardens in their yards?
Yeah, we definitely have a straight design and consultation aspect to that where people will contact us and we will help them design their gardens. But there's a new program this year which we're really excited about. It's called PermaBlitz. So it's an interesting contraction word between permaculture and blitzkrieg, the idea of a lightning-fast transfer of permaculture education, experience, as well as implementation. It was created in 2005 and 2006 in Melbourne, Australia. And what it is a homeowner who has an interest in having a garden, let's say their front yard or their backyard, and potentially a little bit of a food forest, which is very much using perennials or trees and shrubs that ever bear fruit or medicinals in their yard. They'll contract somebody through what's called the PermaBlitz Network, which we're just setting up now in Victoria. And that person will help them design something for their yard. If they'd like to continue, what they'll do is they'll contract that person again to help lead the day. And the day of implementation, that PermaBlitz, is advertised to the wider community. Now, what's so interesting is that the wider community participants can come in, and they can sign up for free for basically a full-day workshop on implementation. And it's one of those things that's a little difficult to find in permaculture education, the actual doing. There's a lot of people who teach the theory, but the doing tends to sometimes fall by the way. And so all these people come for a full day of implementation. So the designer's there helping lead the day. The homeowner provides food as well as refreshments. And in a day, we get a transfer of energy, and more often than not, we complete an entire garden with raised beds or mounded beds, as well as installation of trees, and sometimes even irrigation is put in. So these installations, if they were contracted professionally, having all these different aspects outsourced, around, you know, $10,000 to $12,000. But done this way, we can drop the price dramatically, usually by a tenth of the cost. The other neat thing is that in participating in these PermaBlitzes, you participate three times, and then your house or home or property is then eligible to have a PermaBlitz done on it as well. So it's very regenerative in that sense, and it's very community building.
Has there been an increase in demand for this type of service or this type of support?
I think hugely so. I think seeing the amount of community gardens that are popping up, I was just recently in Calgary, and they have had an increase of about 20 to 25% from communities asking for supported funding to create community gardens. But also the PermaBlitz model in Calgary is now 2 years old, and I think the first year was something like 30 to 35 PermaBlitzes, and this year they look to see about 60 scheduled at the moment. So just from that alone, I think that would be a real way of looking at it. And then there's the whole aspect of urban farming, as well as something called spin farming, which is small plot intensive farming, farming front yards and backyards and medians, and that as well has exploded. There's a great farmer out of Kelowna, Curtis Stone, who's providing a great model for people, and he's actually going to be here in town on April 22nd to talk about spin farming for people who are interested. But what's interesting is that people are seeing that you can make a living, and you can make a good living, providing food to people in a municipal center for a few reasons. One, the transportation costs are a little bit lower, but also the community involvement is higher. You're just a lot closer from source to sink when you talk about where your food's coming from and where it's going to. Edmonton as well, good friends in Edmonton, they're seeing a massive increase in the amount of people who are urban farming, as well as just providing urban produce. And something that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is different types of farm products or food products. So we're talking honey. We're talking some people who are doing aquaculture, which is growing fish terrestrially, people who are growing mushrooms within the city. So all of these things are really starting to take off. And this year has been an explosion more so than the past five together, I would say.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
The term permaculture was coined as a combination of the words permanent and agriculture, and then permanent and culture. Its origins as a movement and educational approach can be traced back to the late 1970s. Now, permaculture is finding its way into a range of educational programs and local initiatives, and in the process, it's becoming a local response to larger challenges and problems. Instructors from Permaculture BC are focusing on theory and hands-on activities for people who want to incorporate this approach to sustainability and natural living more deeply into their lives. According to scientist, environmentalist, and broadcaster Dr. David Suzuki, what permaculturalists are doing is the most important activity that any group is doing on the planet. We're speaking with Javin Kirby-Brnakovich, a permaculture practitioner, advocate, and instructor with Permaculture BC.
Javin, why is permaculture so important at this point in time?
You know, there's a joke that you could ask 99 permaculturalists what permaculture is, and you would get 99 different answers. But what it comes down to, and I think the crux of it is we've got a world that's definitely out of harmony and has a lot of dissonance in it. There's a lot of pollution, and in permaculture, we understand that just to be unutilized energy. So when we add these things together, permaculture ends up becoming a way of re-engaging with each other and with the land in a way that provides health, happiness, and wealth. It's probably the easiest way to say it for each individual person. It's a way of living that I think our grandparents knew intrinsically, and some of the older students I've had in the courses, they'll sit there and they say, this is how we always used to live, or this is how my great-grandmother or my grandmother used to live. And, you know, it's so interesting that we have to reteach these skills. We have to reteach these ways of being, or the idea of frugality, or the idea of reusing things that we have. For example, just after cooking, taking the leftovers to make soup, something as simple as that, but the recycling of that, I think we've lost that innate desire, that innate ability through personal gratification, just an instantaneous culture. So the reason why we need it, I think, more so now than ever before is because we're moving further and further away from connecting with each other and from the land-based itself to create really healthy and happy lives.
What do you hear from your urban clients in Victoria, for example? What difference has the incorporation of agriculture and permaculture made in their lives?
Probably me laughing is the best answer. Just the people who have agriculture in their lives, or the people who have a sense of where their food's coming from, or are just more tied to where they are, they end up just being happier people. They have less stress in their lives, which, of course, has a compounding effect to have less disease and less infection and less, you know, ailments on a daily basis. But more often than not, they find themselves more outside, which is something we tend not to do as much. They find themselves interacting with something with their hands, so they have a sense of self-confidence and self-determination that they potentially didn't have before. That's one of the reasons why garden therapy, I guess is what it's being called, is used with youth at risk or with even mental health patients. But more often than not, it really is that aspect of just connecting with the land and with each other to create themselves to be a happier person. And there's always a lot of laughter, I find, around permaculture.
Javin Brnakovich, we have just a couple of moments left in our interview today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
The only thing I'll say is that if folks are interested in learning more about permaculture or spin farming or a hands-on workshop, or even having one of our instructors come out to speak to their community group, their garden group, their school, just to contact us through the website, which is permaculturebc.com. And you can sign up for the newsletter there, or you can find us on Facebook. And it's just a great way to connect with a lot of things we post, which are within the realm of regenerative sustainable living.
Thanks for joining us, Javin. You'd better get back out in the garden now.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Javin Brnakovich is a permaculture practitioner, advocate, and instructor with Permaculture BC. You can find Javin and other permaculture practitioners online at permaculturebc.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.